Thanks, Brendan. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Let's have one now.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, all right. Great.
We are recording. Microphones on. Mobile phones off.
We're ready to go whenever Madam Chair is. Madam Mayor.
Apparently the new Mayor Slate. The Deputy Slate.
Oh, and Renee Payne. Renee Payne sent through an app. Don't forget to turn your thingy.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our December Council meeting. Sure.
We'll help.
Thank you all for being here. It's got the real end of year vibe to it. We've got an apology from Mayor Matt today, so I'll be in the chair. Bear with me. So starting off for our... Where's our apologies? The acknowledgement of country...
Opening of meeting.
So, gosh. In the spirit of open, accessible and transparent government, Berrigan Council's meetings are audio recorded. By speaking at a council meeting, members of the public agree to being recorded. Berrigan Shire Council accepts no liability for any defamatory, discriminatory or offensive remarks or gestures that are made during the course of the meeting. Opinions expressed or statements made by individuals are the opinions or statements of those individuals and do not imply any form of endorsement by Berrigan Shire Council. Confidential matters of council will not be audio recorded. Recordings are protected by copyright and owned by Berrigan Shire Council. No part may be copied, recorded, reproduced or transmitted without the prior written consent of the CEO. Any recording is not and shall not be taken to be an official record of the Berrigan Shire Council meeting or the discussion depicted therein. Only the official minutes may be relied upon as an official record of the meeting. An audio recording of the council meeting will be taken for administrative and minute preparation purposes only and is provided to the public for listening purposes to support council's statutory obligations. Acknowledgement of country. We acknowledge the original inhabitants whose country we are gathered on, and we pay respects to the elders past, present and future, and extend respect to all future nations people. Apologies and applications for leave of absence or attendance via audio-visual link by councillors. I have an apology from Councillor Payne, an apology from Mayor Matt Hannan, and every ELT's here. Yep. Could someone... Councillor Taylor, Councillor Reynoldson, thank you. All those in favour? Sorry, I'll get there in a minute. Thank you. No one's attending via audio visual link, despite its amazing capacity. Item number four, confirmation of previous minutes. Recommendation that the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held in the council chambers on the 16th of November be confirmed, and another recommendation. Can do them together. That the minutes of the extraordinary council meeting held in the council chambers on the 7th of December also be confirmed. Can I have someone to move that? Councillor Taylor, Councillor Cornwell McKean. All in agreement? Thank you. Do we have any disclosures of interest today? Right. We'll move along past the mayoral minute. And the reports of committees. Item number eight, reports to council. 8.1, the Berrigan Waste Disposal Centre, additional opening hours. Rohit, do you want to talk on behalf of Raju, or is that...?
So this is, for you, Madam Mayor, this is the change we propose for Toka landfill. That landfill is almost full, or literally full, and we want to convert Toka landfill into a transfer station. And some changes have made to soon be changed, and the communications have been made through social media to inform the community members. And the proposal is that there is no changes proposed for the top opening hours. There are minor changes proposed for Berrigan, and very minor, say $1,000. We are saying the financial implication of that particular change is minimal.
Yeah.
And
does anyone want to talk for or against?
I just had a question of you, Rohit. In the table under Berrigan, so it's got the new hours highlighted, and next to it's got written commercial. What does that mean? Is that open to the public? Or?
No, that right now we are saying we will only allow commercial waste to be sort of accepted during those hours.
Okay.
But if there is a need to the local community also to use those hours or extended hours, then we will review this.
So can I get a mover for this? Julia, Councillor Cornwell McKean, and a seconder, Councillor Taylor. Thank you. 8.2, all in favour? We're going to get there. Yep. 8.2, Local Government Remuneration Tribunal, 2023 Annual Determination. Recommendation that Council adopt the Local Government Remuneration Tribunal submission regarding the 2023 Annual Determination as presented. Everyone had a chance to read through this and understand the report.
Thanks everyone for their input. It was really valuable actually to help me pull that together.
Yep. Very good. Could I get a mover, Councillor McNaught, seconder, Councillor Taylor, all in favour? Thank you. That's okay. I'm zooming double time. Oh, sorry, I've gone to the boundaries. 22. Is this why Matt always has a physical copy?
Well, sometimes he has a physical copy because that doesn't work.
Right. 8.3, Local Government Boundaries Commission submission from CEO Karina Ewer. Recommendation that Council endorse the Local Government Boundaries Commission submission as presented by the CEO and authorise its submission by the 16th of December. Would anyone like to move?
Could I just make a comment?
Sure.
Karina, your presentation is lovely. It's good, no worries there. But I just really don't see why you're wasting your time sending a submission into something like this. They've asked for one, obviously, and that's good. But I think you've got more valuable things you can do to be responding to everyone that wants a submission. You've done a lot of work on that and wasted a lot of time, and I really can't see the benefit in it.
Okay. I only sort of select the ones I think are probably worth. I don't go to every submission because there are hundreds.
Well, you seem to do plenty of them. I'm just saying I don't know whether you spend too much time on submissions it's local government and it's all right. We're a little council and I don't know they listen to us too much anyway. I just think, anyway, that's my opinion.
That's okay.
Would anyone like to move that the submission be endorsed by the Councillor Cornwell McKean? Seconded. Councillor Taylor. All those in favour?
Just on that, is there what sort of process do you just sort of pick and choose which ones you, obviously there's millions of them, but do you have a formula or something that you use to assess?
Oh, we sort of have a chat first of all as to whether or not we think at ELT we think it's worth putting in an application to or a submission to. And some of the stuff is about what aligns with the advocacy work that you've asked me to do. So that, I do actually consider before I send stuff in, is this of value? Does it align with council's strategic advocacy, things that they want to bring up? This council fought really hard against amalgamation. And I think that and sort of worth repeating that they're, the Boundaries Commission probably doesn't always do as it's meant to do. So that was really what it was about. And it probably didn't take as long as it looks like it took.
I suppose, Teddy, you alluding to what we were talking about with the self-assessment, in that what do we really need to be doing,
yes,
and then what's,
yeah,
a,
well, that's
secondary,
right, that was sort of why I was asking.
Secondary,
yeah,
purpose.
Yeah.
Just sort of, because whether there's a formula as I've asked, a system to work with, it sort of might. You're very busy and you don't want to be, knee-deep in paperwork on something that perhaps has limited impact, as Roger's pointed out there.
I suppose I'm a sort of sort of the person that if you don't say it, then people assume you don't have anything to say.
Mm. Yeah.
And I would hate that something happened to us because we couldn't be bothered saying something about it.
Mm.
That's, yeah. There you go.
Thank you.
Most of the time I bring them here so that you guys can say, like, beforehand, to say, look, do you want this one to go in? And if you don't, I wouldn't do it. But, yeah.
I know at home I get randomly asked to survey ag stuff every year. They say, oh, you're randomly selected. I said, I've been randomly selected for the last 20 years.
No, so randomly.
Leave me alone.
There is one at the moment that's out there on councillor misconduct, and they just bought, like, for the submission, they want a submission about, when's it due? It's due
3rd of Feb, but yeah. Remains if we're going to have to start working it before the council meeting in January.
Yeah.
What we can do is we can distribute the discussion paper to councillors, if you like.
And
you might be able to give Karina some feedback about whether you think it's worth us
just going
responding.
No.
No.
I wouldn't have thought
can we circulate it first? You can have a read, because you've really? Got some important... Well, yeah. From my point, maybe I work in the industry and it's a bit different.
Yeah, possibly.
And
I think it's got some important impacts for councillors that probably do need to.
These, at least you need to understand before you make a call about whether you're going to do it or not.
Okay.
But if you don't mind, if you just want to put a blanket ban, we can certainly stop. But
not putting a blanket ban, just
maybe explain the importance of it to us specifically across the whole of local government New South Wales. What impact is Berrigan's submission, or what unique point are we presenting that the other councils aren't going to be able to present? And obviously, when it comes to remuneration, we're more than happy to chip in our two bobs worth it. Morning.
That probably is slightly different to what some of the other submissions would suggest.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. 8.4, complaints. Tokemoor Chamber of Commerce. Council direction is sought.
There's a reason I obviously put these in the minutes. I wanted them on the public record, and I also wanted the response to them on the public record. So any questions, I guess?
What do you want Brenda to do?
I think this is a really difficult issue, and I think the outcome that Sergio wants is for us to move the information centre to Baruga. I don't think we can really justify that given the money we've already put in the TOE and the additional money that will require us to put in were we to set up new premises in Baruga. So I feel like it's an issue where there's no win for anyone.
That was very well said, Sarah.
It doesn't give us an answer, though.
No, but it does point out that it's a complex issue. And I don't mind saying on the public record that I feel that this complaint also would like to be just brought up at council and discussed at council for the sake of it, for airtime, which is, I believe, becoming a bit of a waste of everyone's time and energy and staff resources. So I think if we can manage this and reach some sort of arrangement where this isn't an ongoing mudslinging competition between one Chamber of Commerce of the four and our currently under-resourced staff, it would be a better outcome. Councillor Cornwell McCann.
Could I just put on the record that the Chamber of Commerce meeting, there, it wasn't no responses last meeting. Baruga Advancement Group actually did respond.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, sorry, what was that? Sorry.
That Baruga Advancement Group did RSVP to the meeting.
Oh,
it says no one responded.
Oh, sorry. We
did.
I apologise. Yes, I apologise. I actually meant no one other than you, but I should have probably written that.
Can I just make a little bit of a comment on the two sites at Tokemoor? Effectively, the Chambers site does offer some advice to travellers that are often travelling right the way through. They also offer produce for sale from organisations that won't necessarily have other options, which is quite different from the Shire side. They are, I don't see that there should be really a conflict with the different services that are provided.
No. We can have two bakeries in a town. You can have two pubs in a town. I don't see why we can't have two visitor information centres.
I've done a little bit more research since the last discussion about this, and the team in the Shire site are sending people to the other site for access to memorabilia from Tokemoor, as well as products that are local produce type arrangements. And so if there's anything that they so there is a toing and froing aspect of it as well. I think the other one tends to capture people that are often calling in and moving on, because near the highway they just pull in and say, oh, what's going on, what's further down the road.
But what are we going to do in regards to these complaints? Is the we need a solution, or we need to have some sort of agreement where we can, you know, move on, because this is just, So does anyone have any ideas? You're good at selling things.
One of the discussions we had when we were going to go down this course, I thought, was that the role of the visitor centre that appears in the, or tourist information, whatever we call it, in the foreshore building, was not simply the Tokemoor visitor centre, that it was, its purpose was to have a broad purpose for the whole of the shire, and it had a distinct role. And I seem to think that that's got lost in the discussion. We're talking about, well, we've got a Tokemoor one and we've got another Tokemoor one. Well, that was never the intention.
Yeah.
My understanding, and that was one of, for me personally, that was one of the reasons that I saw that there was merit in it. And I just don't think we're making that distinction clear enough, that if this is the place, and Tokemoor is our largest town now, and this is a place that they will go there, not only to get information about Tokemoor, but the whole of the shire, then you know, this argument to me becomes less important as to the role of the other information centre, which that was a choice to me. That was a choice that was made by the Tokemoor Chamber. We had a spot in our building. We saw a need for an overall, not only to have a place, but also was a place for the opportunity to promote the council region. The four towns, it happened to be in Tokemoor, and so we've got this, well, on some appearances, a conflict that appears. But I'm not sure that that's actually accurate. That's the point that I would make.
Yeah. Look, and I think with the implementation the other day of augmented reality as a tool for visitor information, that just gives us a completely different offering. We're not even in the same, we're not in the same market. We're just not. And I don't, and we're not trying, it's not a market share for us. It's a, I think it's a social responsibility, and certainly the tourism operators really asked for it. So, and the accredited service is a very different service to the one that's being offered. And I'm not saying that they're not offering a good service, because they are. It's just a very different service.
Councillor
O'Connor. Am I correct in saying it's called, we called our centre the Tokemoor Accredited Visitor Information Centre? Now, to go to John's point, we agreed to a Berrigan Shire Visitor Information Centre.
We asked them for that, and the accredited service wouldn't allow us to use Berrigan Shire. We did actually ask for Berrigan Shire. We have to do it in the town it's in.
The telephone has answered Berrigan Shire Visitor Information. Just the naming of the actual
building is building. The actual site, because that's the yellow eye requirement is that it's the town it's in.
And if I was a visitor, then Tokemoor Credit Visitor Information Centre is much easier to understand where it is, as opposed to Shire, where coming back to the whole naming, you may not know where Berrigan Shire actually is, and you're more likely to assume, well Tamora Shire is in Tamora, Narendra Shire is in Narendra, Berrigan Shire would be in Berrigan. So that's why the accreditation group went the way they did. Yeah. But certainly, we do operate it as a Berrigan Shire. Sorry, I'm talking in your role. We do mark it as Berrigan Shire.
I get that point, but that's the aggravating factor here, isn't it?
Well, it is to some extent, but it is actually the accreditation body that said that it had to be that. So we went with what they told us it could be.
The alternative was not to be accredited, and that was the clear direction from both the business owners in Berrigan Shire and the council, was they wanted to operate an accredited centre. So if we want to operate the credited centre, we need to follow
the rules
that they set.
Yep.
Can I just make another quick comment? Look, I've done a little bit more research as well about how is it going and how is it operated, and the feedback's been great. They love the people I've spoken to very recently now that it's set up and going, are really happy that it's where it is, and that they they've had people in their shops call in and say, "Oh, look, I just found out there's this on and that on," and they've done a bit of a wander around.
No one's doubting the value of it, and no one's doubting that we cannot have both running in Tokemoor or within the Berrigan Shire. What I'd like to just clarify is, what direction do you need on this? Is there an actual black and white request, or do you just generally, how do you want to handle the aggravator? Or?
I guess, look, this takes up a lot of my time.
Yeah.
Honestly, I've had two media things that have given us an hour to respond to in the last week, and they've said, otherwise it's going to be on the front page. And I'm like, I said to them yesterday, I'm not responding, put it on the front page, don't care. because it takes up so much of my time. And I'm just, honestly, we've had the argument and we've had it, I don't know, 100 times. I just don't.
Then I think we just need, now that this has been recorded, it's on the public record, we as a council, I assume, agree that both services can run independent of each other. Mm-hmm. We realise that the public might want one or the other, where we realise why it's not called the Berrigan Shire Visitor Information Centre now, and acknowledge that that would have been upsetting for the current Toke Information Centre. Can we now not draw a line under this and move on with the running of our accredited Tourist Information Centre and the Tokemoor Chamber Tourist Information Centre? Is everyone happy that we move on from here and maybe direct to Karina to not wade into any more arguments or disagreements with the Chamber about this? Is everyone happy with that?
I think it's just become too antagonistic. We just need to say, this is what we've done. As you say, recognise the issue with the name. Was not our intention, is where we are.
Move on.
We don't intend to correspond further on this matter.
Yep. Did you want to move a motion to that effect, Julie?
Julie goes, what did I just say?
Jackie got that.
So what you're just saying is that Council will deliver Tokemoor Accredited Visitor Information Centre, and we believe we can operate with both in the same township.
Yep. So Council's considered the points made by the Tokemoor Chamber. It understands that we haven't been able to agree on everything. However, we will continue to operate our facility as proposed, and wish you good luck in the future.
Yeah, I think we do need to make a point that it's, while it may be named the Tokemoor Accredited,
it was not
it
our intention.
Services the whole Shire.
Yeah.
And that the naming situation's unfortunate.
And I have called the shop and it does say, you guys do answer Berrigan Shire Visitor Centre. So that is actually how they answer. It's just that we have to name it something, and like I said, that was the rule. So that was the rule we went with.
Right. So
can I just make
yes?
I think that also within this we have to acknowledge the rest of the work that's being done by the council with based out of that thing. The amount of work that's been done in the last 3 weeks getting some of our businesses involved in the Australian Tourism Data Warehouse thing. Sorry. Just all of those sorts of things, working so much closer, just the fact that we are not sitting in this building, we're out working, and we've got so much more contact with the industry, and I think that's really important, that we need to realise that that's the work that, and that's probably, whilst having the shop front is great, it's the work that we have done.
The values
with
behind
the industry.
So if I could add to what Maren's saying, I think the message we simply need to get out there is one, that this is an information centre or service for the whole of the council area.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, these are some of the things that we're doing which would be distinct from a single town entity, so that people understand, because we can tell the community something, but I think it would be beneficial for them and for us to understand the purpose of what we're doing.
Absolutely.
So
thank you, Councillor Taylor.
We've sort of got a motion in there, Jack, because I know Julie's moved something.
A motion to draft a letter in accordance with what was discussed?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, that's
And also to minimise ongoing.
And no more
toings and froings. Thank you, everybody. Julie, did you want to move? Julie, did you want to move that motion?
Yep.
Would someone like to second that? Councillor Taylor? All in favour?
Awesome. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you. Thank you, Maren. Now, 8.5, Governance Structure Corporate Workshop, Councillor Big Ideas. This got a bit serious, didn't it?
I know. Well, I don't want to lose the ideas. That's the main point of it, is I don't want to lose the ideas.
No.
But I don't necessarily have time to do them.
I enjoyed the definition of Council's role. That was helpful, all the different options.
Yeah.
Recommendation that Council adopt the terms of reference draft document provided and allow each Councillor to commence work on their big idea once their terms of reference are agreed and adopted by Council.
So to say that if they set up a group to start working on their idea, then there's a terms of reference and that comes back to Council for approval and then they can go off and do their thing. So it sets a governance framework around what might happen.
I'm going to bring the hand. Everyone, would anyone like to move that? Or talk?
Just interest sake, like when this was originally set up, we were told there was no budget constraints.
I know, it was an idea.
That's right. So how relevant are all these ideas? How much time are we going to waste on all these ideas that are purely...
Yours is already in play.
Yours is already in play.
You win.
Well, that's all right.
You win.
It's purely that workload again. Okay. You're asking... I've got no problem with the councillors doing it. If they all want to do it, it's all right. Yeah. But I'm just wondering, how much time are we going to waste on big ideas when we've still got potholes to fill everything else. So it's just that workload again.
Yeah. If I use Carly's idea of the anaerobic digester...
You may.
Well, Carly and I have had some sort of basic, very basic discussions. But Carly, and I'm sorry I'm speaking for you, but felt like if she could find an investor, that might be something that she would... Go for
it. Why have we not set up governance rules for it? Then
because
she can just
can't go rogue and go and talk to investors about it.
You can do it as a private investor.
Yes, I know, but I what my role as a councillor is to not go out and seek investors. But if we've got code of conduct around it to keep it neat and tidy and safe, I can then say, we are doing this, and it falls in
and
under
this
these
is
terms
my
of
role,
reference.
And that's where they take over.
And so then if someone from FinBiogas who can build an anaerobic digester calls Rohit, I'm then out of it. It's got nothing to do with me. Then it's gone to that next step.
It just takes.
So it's not waiting for staff to do it.
I'm just very conscious of it wasting too much time on something blue sky stuff. So I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of the ideas,
But I think the purpose of this is to not waste staff's time. The purpose of this is to not waste staff's time.
Yeah,
it's putting the onus onto us to get the momentum going, and if we do that within these terms of reference, and then it's in a position to get help. If it's got legs, it will go. If it doesn't, then that was a nice night over at the Siebel.
Yeah. Well, and plus it also keeps in our mind that if opportunities come up, we can bring these to you guys, and you might end up the chair of a board of a committee.
And if government funding appears specifically for something that we've half-cooked, we can say, well, why don't we hand this over and it's ready to go? I feel like you guys do that a lot anyway.
As long as the councillors are happy with it, I'm just conscious of the workload that could be involved in it.
Thank you, Councillor Reynoldson. Right. can I get someone to move the motion, or is it just recommendation that we adopt them? Yeah, can someone move the motion to adopt the terms of reference? Councillor Taylor, seconded. Councillor Haddie, all in favour? Mindfulness of resources. Approved. Now, 8.6. You can put your tin hat on. Regional banking inquiry campaign. Recommendation. Council guidance is sought as to whether we write a letter of support to the Australian Citizens Party.
That's right.
I had the question asked, and I was like, "Oh, anyone that has to call them a Citizens Party, honestly, it makes me a bit scared." And doing some research, I would recommend no, but I can't. But the question was asked. So I
move the motion. We don't. In that it's nothing wrong with the cause, but the actual direction it's going, I don't think that's just a waste of time. Australian Citizens Party, I don't think they've got much sway anywhere that I know of.
Not unless you're into... Would anyone like to second that motion?
I'll second it.
Councillor McNaught. Thank you very much for acknowledging that. Can I just add, can we not talk to Senator Perrin-Davey, who was part of the Regional Banking Task Force?
Well, yes, we can.
Can we please write a letter to her?
We can.
Because that would be more useful, and maybe point out that Cobram ANZ is being shut down.
Mm.
So, as conscious, we see council with a role with this one.
What I could do is send our submission that we sent to Perrin-Davey and ask that it wasn't actually acknowledged.
Yeah. It'd nearly be better to come from Ramjo, because then all of their banks are shutting as well. It's not just us. And then
could ask Ramjo. Yeah, I could put it on the Ramjo board agenda.
Yeah, if you can do that. I just think that acknowledging that it's all shutting down is not a way of stopping it.
No, that's right. Okay.
As they say, once you lose a service, it doesn't come back. They're not going to bring banks back. No. So do something, but just not with the Citizens Party.
Okay, perfect. I will do that.
Thank you. 8.7, Reconciliation Action Plan. Recommendation that Council endorse the wording of the Draft Reconciliation Action Plan so that staff may develop into a more polished product for Council adoption. Further, Council nominate someone as Council's RAP champion. Discuss. Yes,
the RAP champion doesn't have to be like me or something like that. It could be a councillor or a staff member. So I think it's probably really important that it is in fact not.
Mm-hmm.
Just heads up. But I really do think it needs to be someone who has Indigenous roots. And I do have a few staff members as well, but I would probably ask you to be on the working group anyway. So it's up to you guys if you want. Well, obviously, I think I've pretty said I really like Julia to be the champion personally, but because I think that shows that council is taking this on board. There you go.
Oh.
The worst possible week to ask me to take something else.
No.
Can we ask him in January?
That'd be better. Ask me next week.
Yeah.
Yes, that's fine.
Great, thank you. Would someone like to move that Julia be nominated as our Reconciliation Action Plan champion? Councillor Reynoldson, seconded by Councillor Taylor. All
we've got some questions.
The only ones, all the acronyms, I had no idea what all the I haven't got in front of this, but all the lettering, I've got no idea. The Reconciliation Action, but there was all these other ones which I had, I've got no idea what they were.
Well, what I might do is when I actually do the actual document, I'll put it. That sort of stuff in there, so you can go and find it. But
and there was another thing that worried me. I can't find it in there. I was reading enough that staff, it's going to be compulsory. They've got to go to training for it.
Cultural awareness training. No, I didn't say compulsory.
No, that
we
was.
Need to
well,
do
I was going to say I'm happy if it's voluntary, but I don't think we should be think we're going to be indoctrinating people who don't want to go.
We have some significant cultural issues in our staff at the moment, with some real racism and some real horrible things that have been said and done, and I would be actively encouraging that people go.
That's right, but that's racism one. This is reconciliation, so racism's like everybody. Reconciliation's just with First Nations, isn't it? Right.
Yes,
so isn't that a separate one to this?
Yes and no.
Yes and no. I'm just trying to differentiate where they're going. So,
Councillor Cormann, okay.
There's cultural safety in terms of Indigenous people, but there's cultural safety in terms of all cultures, and I actually think, to be honest, we should take the all approach first,
yes,
and then move into the Indigenous space more specifically.
So we wouldn't be doubling up.
That's all right.
Okay. No, we're not intending to do like two lots of training.
Yeah.
But the point is that this is very internally focused document, because we can't be leaders in the community until we can get our own house in order. You know what I mean?
Mm.
We really can't do the next step until we can get our own house in order.
Councillor Addy?
And Julie just summed up what I was thinking there, because it worries me that we're just focusing on one group rather than that. We've got quite a diverse team, and I think the absolute priority needs to be making sure that everybody is
looked after.
Absolutely. So can we, in light of that, we're happy to move that.
Well, the Reconciliation Action Plan does focus on Aboriginality and First Nations people, and it does so for a reason. And that is because, like, when I got here, we didn't even fly the Aboriginal flag. Like, seriously, that's 18 months ago. So there is, and we've had people actively told to not make a big deal.
But I'm looking here that it doesn't actually capture what was just said a moment ago in this.
No, but did you, in the your minutes that you sent through from your ELT, there was mention there of cultural safety training is being organised, and that's already underway,
yes.
Separate to this.
Mm. Yes.
So that's already happening in another space.
This is with Reconciliation Australia. So this is about First Nations people. Yes, absolutely.
That's a good
and that's where it should be focused. But the spillover from that is considerable other work that has to be done.
Okay. So did we have a mover for Julia being the champion of the RAP? Councillor Taylor, seconded Councillor Reynoldson. Good. All in favour?
Great. Well, a weekly report.
No, there won't be a weekly report.
Don't stir her up. She's got a massive week.
There won't be a weekly report.
You don't want to break it before Christmas.
No, let's not do that.
Okay, 8.8. I can't ever read these. Council Action List Report. Recommendation that Council receive a note, Council Action List Report. Can we explain this a little bit more as to, like, from what date is this? This seems very...
Okay, so this was the ones that, this was the original ones that I started, and they're the ones that, so when I first came, we didn't have, like, a way of tracking the...
There was that spreadsheet.
That's right. Yeah. So before we started using InfoCouncil, which automatically tracks the items coming out of the minutes and makes it very easy for us as staff to follow, and hopefully you get a report that's easy for you to follow, what we did do is Karina went through the minutes and created a big spreadsheet.
Yep.
And that big spreadsheet came here, and I found it difficult to use, and I found it difficult to
read. It was a good list.
So,
But
what we couldn't do is just import these directly in InfoCouncil. It's not the way the model works. You have to actually bring them in through a set of minutes. So this is our workaround.
Okay.
So that once you adopt these here and confirm them, they will then go onto the action list.
Okay.
Going forward, so you won't have the two different documents.
Where's
you won't have the spreadsheet.
Trying to put them together.
And
so
InfoCouncil.
Have we got our InfoCouncil report?
InfoCouncil Council Action List.
What format does that come in now?
That should just come in a.
That's in the PDF.
So this and will
move
these. Superseded the spreadsheet.
This will move these into
stuff.
The spreadsheet into InfoCouncil, so you won't have the two separate reports coming.
Okay.
It'll make our life easier. Hopefully, it'll make your life easier. It is very procedural. It doesn't require a lot of work.
That's
some of these can almost be closed out, actually.
Very good. Right, I can someone please move that we accept the action report?
And
Councillor Cornwell McKean, seconded by Councillor McNaught. All in favour?
Councillor Cornwell McKean, I just wanted to let you know the other audit of all of the ones is actually starting, so we're getting there.
Excellent. Okay. Talia Fry, 8.9, finance accounts. Would you like to talk to this before we...
Yep.
Should I read it then? No.
I'm not sure everyone's had a look and had a read of this. So October's seen a decrease in funds of just over 600,000. Mainly that's due to obviously council completing large projects. The water treatment plants we've been getting big invoices for those. So a lot of that is for that work. Council will continue to see funds decrease, especially because we had 75% of our FAG paid in advance. So those top-up payments to the general fund won't be coming in. Does anyone have any questions?
Councillor Cornwell McKean.
The number in the recommendation in Part B doesn't look correct.
No, it doesn't. It's two extra zeros. Our $5 billion. 180 million.
5 billion. It should be a dot in a way rather than a comma.
Correct. Talia does a good job to get it up to that number.
I do apologise. I was actually away and didn't get to do this report, so someone did it for me. I'll just confirm and check. We'll get someone to check it and fix it, get the correct number.
Down in the report C, it seems to be correct. It's got the dot.
It's missing the dot.
It's got a dot.
It's got a comma.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments, Councillor Reynoldson?
It's just a dot. Yeah. Right. Yep.
Just on the term deposits we've had, like, you know, our investment group give us all the highest interest rates, which are stuff we don't presently invest in. A lot of them are, but we don't seem to have taken any of them up recently. Why is that? We've got our investments with AMP, Bank of Queensland, Bendigo Bank, Defence and NAB and Westpac. Well, they're the ones we've always been on.
Yep.
But you go into the investment ones and they give you the highest interest rates, which are...
So on page 120 in November, I think there's a table there. They're all longer term ones, you see.
Yep.
I thought we were going... Yeah, I understand.
We are.
We haven't taken up any foreign ones, so I'm just wondering... Why?
Well, I brought ICBC specifically to council and was told not to invest with them.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So that's a Chinese bank. They have branches operating. Right. So.
And it's been 1 month, Talia, I think, since the new investment policy.
Yeah, I'll also note that these rates, I think they're close to what we're getting. So
far off the pace. I'm just you know, we're getting in the information, but we just seem to be rolling who we've already been with. So
that's what we will always do. So when we talk about diversifying our investment portfolio, what we're wanting to do is essentially invest over longer terms.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're investing over 2-3 years, that's guaranteeing council X amount of interest income.
Yeah.
For those 3 years, regardless of what the market's doing. So the other issue and the other thing you have to be mindful of is we need enough cash to operate.
Yeah.
So we can only invest so much of our money, of the general fund especially, because we still need to pay wages, creditors, etc. So we have to be mindful of how and when we're investing to ensure that the maturity of the TDs is still coming back to us and we still have enough funds to then... essentially operate.
Yeah.
But those rates that are in plus three, ICBC, we're getting around 4.5% to 5% for TDs we're investing in.
Well, even 0.1 over $2 million, you're talking $20,000. It's not insignificant.
So if I could speak, please. Council adopted a new investment policy at its meeting in mid-November. I don't know the exact date. Which did allow us to be a bit more aggressive with those. Certainly, if you look at the policy, it says that we're going to accept some risk. Now, that was on about 14th and 15th of November. This report is up to the 30th of November, so that's 14 days. And we can only change our TDs as they actually mature. So as they mature, I have no doubt that the finance team will start to look at those opportunities.
Good. Now, the other thing I'd query, you might be able to explain it on where we're looking. We have a capital structure. This is on page senior fixed bonds on page 124. What is that? Capital structures covered or senior? I don't understand. Do you know what that means?
I'll have to take that on notice because I've
never senior fixed bonds. I'm just
yeah. I have to take that one on notice. I'm not sure what they are. I've never invested in bonds personally.
Oh, that's what I'm just asking.
So that's different types of security. So capital structure, if it's covered debt, then it's pretty much 100% covered. If it's senior debt, that means you fall in a certain hierarchy of people who are covered.
It's a rating.
So not necessarily rating. Rating's separate again. Rating's about overall thing. Eh? But if you're covered debt, that's 100% guaranteed you'll get paid. If it's senior debt, then you, if they do go bust, your debt is a higher priority than someone who is
what's below senior?
I don't have the exact table, but that's what it is.
How many grades would there be?
There's about four, I think.
Four, right here.
That's the same as a triple B and a double A and all that. It's just a matchup. It's not the same.
They're tied together, but they're separate. The whole investment itself might be triple A, but that relates to the security of the whole organisation as a whole. Where the capital structure sits is where you sit in the hierarchy of those who get paid first.
Yeah. Yes. Right here. Thank you.
Talia, did you want to anything more with that? Someone like to move a motion that we receive the financials, confirm the accounts, and note the report. Councillor Reynoldson, seconded by Councillor Taylor. All in favour? Thank you. Thank you, Talia, for getting that done. Here we are. 8.10, banking arrangements, section 355, volunteer committees. The recommendation that the council, by June 30 next year, establish a model for banking service for its volunteer committees of management established under section 355 of the Local Government Act, where 1, council will be responsible for the provision of banking services for each committee. 2, council will open an account for each committee with a single institution named Berrigan Shire Council Widgets Committee of Management. 3, council staff will manage the accounts via online banking, including authorising signatories from the volunteer committee members. And 4, volunteer committees will be provided with online access to the accounts to make payments and a card to allow for cash deposits and withdrawals.
Can I ask a question about this?
You can.
I'm assuming that these things have arisen probably because of ARIC, is that right?
Not just ARIC, sorry. It isn't just ARIC, it is also the Auditor General's Office, who have across the whole country, across the whole state, I should say, targeted Section 355 committees, and we've been put on notice that we must have tighter...
So I understand that, but I also see that I think we need to be sensitive how we deal with the 355 committees, many of whom are... it just seems this could be taken easily the wrong way and really be a discouragement for people even being involved with 355 committees if it is. Maybe I'm misunderstanding it.
This is actually a compromise with the Auditor General's Office, who wanted us to take control completely and have the bank accounts in our account only and us manage them completely. We've said we'll open them still in their names, but with Berrigan Shire Council, and manage the signatories and stuff like that, which still gives them the freedom to use their own accounts, but we have sort of like that oversight. It'll also help that if we can help do their financial statements, because we'll be able to see what's going through the bank accounts. But they actually wanted us to completely take over the accounts.
Yeah, which is another, you know, I'm sort of with Roger with some of these things that... We impose, you know, we keep on imposing levels of bureaucracy, and at the end of the day, our system doesn't work without volunteers. So we have to, I'm just saying, and I'm not saying that I disagree with this by any means, but I'm saying in a practical way, how do you see if we have the local... committee, how is it going to work, and how are we going to explain it, and how are we actually going to get them on board with it? Because I could see that, you know, some people will say, particularly if we have a lot of volunteers that have been there 20, 30 years, they're just going to say, are they going to say to us,
you
do it yourself, we don't want to do it, and that creates a bigger problem for us.
That's part of the response we had to the Auditor General's management letter. It's in the management letter that you've all received. This is the compromise we've made to say, okay, we have to do something. We agree we probably do have to do something, because it's about $500,000 worth of funds that the committees as a all together actually are looking after. And so they're saying that's a lot of money for council to not have oversight of. So they want us to make sure we have some oversight. So we've gone, okay, this is as little as we can have. Does that make sense?
Could I just offer up as another workaround? If everyone's already got their established bank accounts, how many Section 355 committees have we got?
It'd be 24.
Okay, so there's 23 or 4 accounts out there. Can we not get a Berrigan Shire staff person to be a signatory on all of those accounts? Everything stays as is, but then they have internet banking access.
Okay. That's something I did consider. So one of the things I'm hearing at this meeting from the councillors is we need to try and minimise the workload that council staff can actually get on and do the things that we need to do. Having us operate basically as a second partner, banks across different institutions in different manners, is not going to be an easy task for council staff. Hence why the model I proposed, and I'm not saying it's the only model, and council, of course, this is a decision the council gets to make. Having them all in the one institution on the one online banking system for us means that we have it set up in a system, our staff can go in there, they know how each one operates, and we can manage them in line with our own banking arrangements.
see them all there. It's about ease of administration for council. In terms of the committees, the honest truth is I'm not sure that, and I'm not, without a doubt, there will be committees who feel that this will be a slight on them, and that is part of the process for council staff to try and manage. But I actually do believe that once this is set up, it will actually minimise the workload on those committees, because A, we will be responsible for making sure the signatories get changed over. We won't be asking them to try and sort that all out and take their minutes and all that sort of stuff. Two, we'll also, instead of having to ask them for copies of bank statements and that sort of stuff, we'll be able to get those copies of bank statements straight away.
Sorry, but do you need to pay, like, are you paying bills?
No. Sorry, I don't think I've explained the model very well in the report.
What says,
so,
we'll manage the accounts via online banking.
That's correct. So,
including authorising signatories.
So, I haven't explained the model very well, Madam Chair, and I apologise for that.
Maybe I haven't read it.
No, I think you have. I haven't put the detail that I probably needed to put in.
Okay, go again.
So, the model. We will open the accounts. The accounts will sit in online banking. Berrigan Shire Council - Berrigan Arts Group. Okay? That'll be the account. We establish the account. The account will sit with our bank. We will then have authority set with either Talia or someone from her team who then has authority through our online banking system. We will then set up online banking systems, two signatories from the account, nominated by that committee.
So their treasurer and their
president. Let's say we'll have authority. We will grant that permission so that we can establish it and remove it as we need to. A, that gives us some better control, because I do know there are committees that have still got signatories who have been off the committees for years.
There's a lot of that.
So when the auditors ask, how do we know who's actually got access to the accounts? We will know. And we will be able to work with those committees to make sure those people have access. Those committees still operate the accounts as they would. In fact, they'll even have a card in case they need to make a cash deposit or withdrawal. The card will go to the treasurer. We'll have control over the card too, and we can cancel the shares we need. For them, they operate the same as they already would. The only thing that they may need to do is literally transfer all the money, but just close their current account and transfer it over to a new one. That should be the entire impact on them, plus any online payments they may have set up, which should be very minimal in my experience. So from their point of view, we're taking a lot of the actual administrative work off them, and they're still making their own payments and doing all that things themselves.
Does Talia's team have the capacity to do that?
Well, that's a question best put to Talia.
I did put it to Talia.
As in set up all their bank accounts.
Is this something that would make your job easier or harder, having the Section 5.5?
So it's something that will probably make Emma's life harder, because I pushed a lot of it back onto Emma to chase up the bank statements. But it will make it easier at the end of the year when we have to, because the issue is we might get to a point where the audit office says that we have to. So in our balances, the committee's funds aren't in there.
Right.
So we don't bring them on because we don't have updated and relevant data. Okay. So if it gets to a point where the audit office says, well, those are now material, we need to bring them into your books, and that will make it a lot easier for us to do so.
So it's a means to an end.
Yeah.
So that hasn't happened yet, though?
The issue the audit office have got is this is money that belongs to the council. It does. Whether in a moral sense it does, in a legal sense it certainly does. And the audit office is saying, well, how do you know how much money you've got, and how do you know it's controlled? And our answer is, well, we don't know. We rely on our committees to tell us.
Okay. Councillor Hattie?
Why can't we have existing bank accounts that they have already and simply have the access from the council? Can just simply have a backdoor access
That's what we said. There'll be all different bank accounts,
all different arrangements.
I'm just trying to capture a little bit what John said. I think there's a couple of them that may have money in term deposits, for example, for projects that are up and coming. Does that open up another can of worms?
Term deposits, they can probably just provide us with a statement as a general. The balances don't change, they'll just mature.
I have a different opinion there, Talia. Sorry, I haven't discussed this with you, I know, and I apologise. But no, I'd be pulling the TDs back as well. They need to. Any banking arrangements will need to have us as a signatory, and we invest their money
Because I think that eliminates a whole lot of trust, because I used to take a bill committee have some funds at the moment ready to put into a solar project, a solar panels as soon as they can, but they would be very concerned losing control over that, I would imagine.
Again, Councillor Paddy, maybe I'm not framing it very well, and this is very good practice for me when I frame it with the committees. The money sits in a bank account that is going to be called Tokemoor Swimming Pool Committee of Management. It sits there in account. That money is still the money that they have in their account, and it's set aside for that pool committee.
Yep.
It's not being taken from them.
Mm-hmm.
The question
will be asked is what stops council moving that somewhere else?
What stops council doing that now, Councillor Hattie?
Because they can't, you know.
Actually,
well, maybe it is, but at least there's an argument before it goes.
Can I just say,
a resolution any time and go into the bank with a letter and say, we are withdrawing those funds. There's literally nothing left changing.
Okay.
Are you doing this?
At least there's an argument before it leaves.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. It's good to have the argument on the table.
Sorry, can I just quickly say, is this a way of changing the mindset so that Section 355 committees are more aware of the fact that their funds are council funds?
That is certainly one of the arguments that I have.
There's a dynamic there. That's the message you're sending. And then you're following it up with this new account system for auditing purposes.
That's not the prime purpose of it.
No, but it's got that definite flavour.
The prime purpose of it is that the audit office have told us we need to have more control over what goes on with the financing of our committees. What they have said to us is basically they're happy to have committees run, but they run through our ledger and all the money sits in our account, and then we pay the bills on their behalf.
Okay.
That's how they'd like it to operate. We have said, okay, we don't think that's feasible. We don't think that's even appropriate way to run our committees.
No, that's right.
What we're saying here is, look, we still think our committees need to have control over their funds and be able to pay their bills and do those things. This is a way where we can demonstrate the audit office. Yes, we know what's happening in those accounts. We have these things. We can control who's got access to the funds. We can control who the secretaries are.
Yep.
For the committees, we take some of the administration load off them, as well as they still have the amount of money that they know sitting in an account that's got their name attached to it, that's sitting there for them to spend.
Well, this is good. This is good practice.
So that's exactly right. It is great practice. And the questions you're asking are the same questions they're going to be asking me. It's quite good. So that's why I proposed the model. Now, again, council can go and tell the audit office, we're going to keep going the way we're going. And that's quite legitimate. It just means this will be raised every year until something happens. And almost certainly ARIC is going to come back and recommend to you that you do something too.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Cormann, okay.
Having recently taken over a bank account that has been directed to the Baruga Police Station, probably for more than 10 years, with the statements, what a mess. What a mess. No receipts, no acquittal, no accountability. I actually, when Matt mentioned it, I thought, oh, thank God. it's actually less work for me.
Yeah.
And having that back, you know, getting other signatories to sign, it's going to make life actually easier.
Okay, that's good to hear. Councillor Taylor?
So if I summarise, we've got a requirement to take control of these monies, make sure there's appropriate reports. We can do that most efficiently by doing the way that's proposed. My concern after hearing what you've said is not really in the way that what you're seeking to do. My concern is that we ensure, because these are volunteers, that they understand very transparently why we're doing what we're doing. And it's our job, I think, to persuade them or to bring them to that point that this is what we need to do. There are benefits for you. You will not be disadvantaged. And I think there's an obligation, because there will be that kind of concern that Ted has raised. You're going to take our money, it's going to go into some equivalent of consolidated revenue, we'll never see it again. We've been the people on the ground raising it, rah, rah, rah.
Yeah.
So I think there is a consultation process that's really important. But I think actually, you know, after thinking about it, I think it's a good idea.
So, a suggestion, and I say this with advisement, but if there is that concern, perhaps the amendment, my recommendation could be amended to include that money will not be withdrawn from these accounts without a resolution of council.
Yeah.
Would that feel that they would give them some more protection?
Or consultation.
Yeah. Well, consultation also with the people that are involved.
And
because
a resolution of council.
I know we have, look, we often talk about reputational risk, but this is a clear case to me of reputational risk. If we were to make a unilateral decision without consulting the people that we trust to do the work on the ground, well, we're going to hurt ourselves ultimately in the way we do it.
I believe we haven't got a mover and seconder, but I feel like if I could ask for a mover to the amended recommendation.
So you want me to add, no, sorry, Council would like to add a 0.5, which is Council, will they only withdraw funds after consultation and Council resolution.
Hello, Dr.
Jo Ruff, Director of Strategic Planning and I'm just actually looking at it from the perspective of the community engagement and volunteers, etc. And just being one of the things that we use within council when we quarantine money is that we actually use the word that money's reserved for.
Mm-hmm.
I would just, because that's language that is understood within local government, and I think people understand that any money that is in a reserve for something can only be used for that particular
purpose.
So it would be, it might strengthen it and help the community engagement going forward if we, unless there's a legal reason why that can't be used in accounting language, that's how.
The money's not on our books.
So
can I just clarify? We're not putting, so that money is not going to be in council's financials at all. Unless we are now changing it to what we've done. So the money won't be shown anywhere as reserve because we don't record it, because we class it as immaterial.
If it's in a joint bank account, but it doesn't become part of
It's currently in our bank. It's technically our bank account now.
Yeah, I know that, but I mean...
Yeah, no. No, we don't record it. Anyway. Because otherwise I would have to record all of the income and all of the expenses of every single committee.
But you said you account for it, so when they say, what are your section...
No,
when you say, what are your section 355 committees, do you need to put it... Do you need to put it somewhere, like to tell the auditor where it is?
It's immaterial to it. We just hand them over a bank statement and show them the balances, and then we argue that it's immaterial.
Cool. Yep.
If I had to bring on all the committees, it would be a lot of work, because as you said, most of them don't have receipts, don't have anything. There's ones that I've picked up and I'm like, I know you do this, where's this? But I just want to clarify before we move a motion with the TDs, if we can just be on the same page, when you're saying you're pulling them back, you want to pull them back and us invest them for them?
I want to pull them back and that just sits in their bank account. And if we want to invest money, we invest as a pool and buy a pool of committees.
But I wouldn't...
I don't agree with that.
Councillor Huddy, investing as a pool and part of committees doesn't mean that that money doesn't sit allocated with that
committee.
No,
I understand that. It's,
I am...
I'd be terrified, and I know you're doing a wonderful job doing it, but geez, I'd rather have control over the money I've raised selling sausages if I lose it.
In that case, they need to incorporate, which is the other option the audit officer said, incorporate and run your own bank accounts. But
maybe this would be a good
way. The audit officer is not going to allow it. Is the audit officer concerned about having transaction bank accounts in committees' names without council oversight? They are 100% going to be more concerned about larger sums of money being invested in TDs that don't have council control. I can't see any way that I'm going to be able to justify, no, the ordinary bank account here with 20,000, yep, no, council needs to see that, but this 100,000 you've got over here, well, we don't worry about that. I can't see how that's going
to
work.
Yeah, I've got full faith in you, Ted. You'll be able to explain it to them.
Okay, so can we get a mover of the amended recommendation, please?
So what I can do, sorry, just on 0.5, and I'm taking into account both what the Director of Street Development and Finance Manager say. The term reserved has a technical accounting meaning, and I think Talia's correct on that. But I think we can use reserved in the term in 0.5 to say, bear with me, my screen is going. Funds held in these accounts are reserved for the use of that committee, and council will only withdraw funds after consultation and a council resolution.
Perfect. Great.
Are we happy? Is that addressing everyone's concerns? I know the TD is a live issue. Can we put the TD concern on hold until we actually speak to the committee, and I'll come back?
Prepare your argument for that.
Yep.
Happy with that. John, would you like to move that? Councillor Taylor? Would someone like to move that?
Yes, you can.
Councillor Taylor, would someone like to second that? Councillor Corley on the all in favour?
We will be having meetings with every committee.
That's the one thing.
In the new year?
No, not quite. Madam General Manager.
You're what?
I'm against.
Councillor Hattie was against that.
From here, there's a couple of things that I think you need to understand is going to happen as a result of previous council resolutions and our committees. So, I've asked Emma to organise a meeting in each town. So rather than go and sit with every committee, a meeting in each town. So we'll meet with the Brewery committees, we'll meet with the TOPE committees, we'll...
Sorry, I just needed a deep breath.
We'll meet with the Finlay committees and we'll meet with the Berrigan committees. So... Well, many of them separately, but I want to make... Otherwise, you're right.
I know, there's a lot
of... So you're concerned about staff workload. Mm. I go and meet with... And Emma and I meet with every committee.
It'll be all the same people.
Yeah.
So you're right.
So let's do it in one town. And I only really need... I don't need every committee member there. What I need is the executives.
Yeah.
Go there, because there's more than just the banking we need to talk to them about. And, again, councillors, you need to be clear about whether you want to go down this direction, but this is the resolutions you're making. So... Earlier this year, you made a resolution about fees and charges. So if you recall, you basically adopted a new fees and charges policy where all the fees set by various committees, which under the Act, because they're council committees, under the Act, must be on exhibition for 28 days and adopted by council resolution. In the past, council has pretty much just delegated that to the committees, and that's questionable adherence with the Act. We've decided that we need to comply with the Act because, again, ARIC is going to require us to comply with the Act, and the Audit Office is going to require us to comply with the Act. So we need to sit down with our Recreation Reserve committees, with our Hall committees, with our Pool committees, with our Foreshore committees. What are the fees you're charging?
Mm-hmm.
The fees that you're charging need to be set in line with the Council's user fees and charges policy. So we need to work with them how they do that. Then they're going to have to come in and be included in Council's overall fees and charges register,
mm-hmm.
which then gets included in the operational plan, which goes on exhibition for 28 days and then gets adopted. Then those fees go live.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. Then the banking. So I am conscious, and I'm very conscious, and I'm hearing what Councillor Hattie and Councillor Reynoldson and Councillor Taylor are saying. This is going to be seen as if Council's out there not trusting the committees, taking power off them. The reality is, all we are actually doing is ensuring that we're complying with our obligations under the Act and by the Audit Office. Now, I don't know how else to do this other than we don't comply. And that's an option for you councils, absolutely, but that's not the recommendation I can put forward.
What's the time frame for all
So with the user fees and charges, we've decided that user fees and charges, we want them in the operational plan that will then get adopted as a draft in May and then get confirmed in June. But what that means for the committees and why I want to hold my meetings in January, Feb, is they need to start working on their fees and charges in February so they can come to council for review. And if there's problems, we've got time to go back and forward until we get the fees correct. The banking, 30 June is what you've just resolved. So again, we've got between now and 30 June to start with the new system on 1 July. Now, if you don't want to go ahead with this council, that's fine too, but you need to then obviously rescind a few resolutions and be able to justify to the Audit Office why you don't need to comply.
So we've nominated the 30th of June. That's not
that's
a direction from elsewhere.
That is to allow us at the end of at the audit next year to be able to demonstrate the Audit Office, yes, we have met this point, and it'll tick it off the list of outstanding items. If you want to push it back as long as you like, that's a decision for you to make too, councillors.
But you'll have to respond to the Audit Office.
Yeah. Well, we'll respond back.
We're busy filling potholes in.
Well, that's not going to be. They won't really accept that.
Councillor Reynoldson.
Definitely the banking. If it works, no worries, that's good. What I'm very worried about the Audit Office wanting to go a step further. They'll want all the information given to Talia and documented all, and really not treasurers. So
that's exactly what they said.
That's
100% what they said.
Right.
This is
we'll
a
pushback. Back on that.
That already happens to some degree. Get a copy of their financials every year. The issue is that in the past we haven't asked for bank statements, and when we receive the bank statements, some of them, don't match up to what they're reporting in their annual reports. Yep. Or they've done their annual reports at random dates, like August.
Yeah, I can see what happens to Shiloh in the border at all.
But I think this is a good middle ground.
We still have... It's more about having oversight over them and ensuring that we know, to some degree, what's happening within our committees.
From a general community point of view, do you think, councillors, that the community as a whole, not just the members of these committees, expect us to know what's happening with these committees, know how much funds they've got, know that we have systems in place that make sure that money can't be misappropriated. As well as the committees having concerns, I think we have an obligation to the community to say that we have good, solid controls. We know what's going on with these committees.
I think it might help if everyone, because residents might, before I came onto council, I didn't know that Section 355 committees were arms of council, and therefore all the little committees around town were part of council. It might not hurt to do a bit of an article or an explanation of this structure, so that then when it comes into place and there's all the rooms that council's taking over, people say, no, this is because of these reasons. Like, we need to get on the front foot with the explanation. I feel like knowledge might be...
I guess there's also been an expectation in the past that they provide their to council, their quarterly bank statements and whatnot. But we've also had issues of council being able to follow that up and know where everybody's up to. So there's already been a system in place that if it was, running at full capacity, we'd know where we should know where everybody's up to anyway.
Yeah. So, and I think this helps Talia keep the house in order a bit.
Yeah. Obviously, as you said, it's a fine line. So when we're asking for bank statements, we get a lot of pushback. I'm on holidays. I can't get it to you. And then we say, can anybody else help?
Yeah.
Nobody else can help. So it's hard for us to get that information from committees.
Okay.
So that's probably the main thing, and that's where the gap is. So we're just trying to close the gap. We won't have to annoy anyone.
I think we all understand how important this is. And do we agree that we need to move this motion?
Can we ask a related question? How much do we? What's the actual dollar cost each year of audit? We have several levels of auditing. What does it actually cost council? Do we know?
Yeah. The New South Wales, it's in the financials. So the audit fees, that doesn't include ARIC. But I think this year was 65.
That's just external audit.
That's just external. Yeah, so not ARIC. And that's not my work. Not the work that myself or my team do.
Which is probably a multiple of that again. Mm.
Yeah.
Audit probably costs us, if we were to count ARIC, internal audits that we do, similar to the internal audit we commissioned from Sentium, staff time addressing both internal audit and external audit, it'd be in the range of $500,000 probably.
So when they talk about, I'm just playing the devil's advocate, when we talk about a significant sum, to some degree, it costs us a lot of money to do what we do, and maybe we need that, but I just wonder at what point you get out of kilter with what you get and what you pay for, that's all.
That we have pushed as a council well before, certainly under the previous general manager, that was one of the strong points he made to OLG on multiple occasions, is where is the cost-benefit analysis of all the checks and balances we're doing? The pushback has been, and the argument has always been, well, we are a governing mentality and the community expects that this is the standards we should be held to.
It would be cheaper to go rogue.
Could I?
So can we just move on from 8.10? I think we've discussed this very comprehensively.
Can I just make a comment? In relation to ARIC, it's very important in my view that ARIC adds value rather than detracts, and it's important that we pick internal audits that actually improve council. So it gets better.
I didn't mean to.
No. It's a sentiment that not everyone who's on an audit committee actually has, but that's what I feel anyway. So
I think that's a really good point. But we make the question about the community. We said, I'm not sure if you put it to the average member of the community and you said, they might say, yeah, I really want to know. But then if you tell them, well, it costs $500,000, that might sway some of them either way. So you want the benefits. If there's benefits, well, that's another argument, yeah.
Thank you. So, Jack, did you get the move on the second for that? That's all good. Great. Thank you, Deputy Sarah. All in favour?
Oh, Paul, I know this is going to be a difficult conversation.
Thank you. In cleaning the toilets?
This one might be difficult too.
This should be straightforward. 8.11, Bruga Recreation Reserve, cleaning of toilets. The recommendation is that the council take over the maintenance, cleaning the toilet block at the Bruga Recreation Reserve. Would anyone like to move?
I have a question.
Second.
I have a question.
Comments.
Is this something that we do for all the reserves anyway? Is this a consistent approach that we do?
Deputy CEO.
Okay, no, it's not. So, what has happened? A bit of background in the report. Most of the public toilets in our recreation reserves are only really open when we're having footy games or training or training money, just actual games on or the show on. So they don't require regular cleaning and they're not open at those other times. Bruga Recreation Reserve, these toilets are different in terms of up until very recently, they were open all the time, and Bruga Sports Club originally was actually maintaining them on behalf of the community of management. Now, Bruga Sports Club have obviously realigned what they're doing in terms of community. They're still doing a lot, but some of these things that are staff intensive,
they stopped maintaining the reserve.
Yes, that's correct. So that meant the toilets were still getting open, but the responsibility was pushed back onto the Bruga Rec Reserve Committee of Management, who just were unable, with volunteer labour, to maintain them at a suitable standard. So their response to that, after receiving regular complaints, was, okay, well, like every other recreation, we'll be just like every other recreation reserve and close them and only open them for actual functions at the reserve. That got some pushback for the community because the community used the reserve in general for all sorts of purposes.
All through the year,
which doesn't necessarily happen at the other reserves, and the community has asked the committee to reopen them. The committee has said, well, we cannot maintain that on a volunteer basis, so they're now asking council, do you want to open these effectively not as recreation reserve toilets, but as another set of public toilets in the town?
Which would bring it to three.
Okay, so if I play again the devil's advocate and say, we put a lot of money into the reserve, a lot of money to improve the area, and we can't do that as a community. I just, you know, sometimes we talk about precincts, and I know, I just remember we built some toilets at Finlay Cemetery, and within 3 weeks every other one wanted it. So, you know, sometimes you talk about precincts. I'm just raising it. Look, I mean, I'm not opposed to it as the particular thing, but I'm just not sure that it's a great...
I understand your concern there, John, but I think what the maybe the unique thing with Bruga is that it is a bit of a hub for people walking the dog, for people going down to the playground. It's opposite the sporties. People go down to kick the footy there. People use the running track. So there is this hive of activity, and there's not a toilet inside, so it puts people in a bit of a bind. So that's why we're trying to get them opened up. Because then it's not like so many people don't use, say, the Berrigan footy oval.
Yes, they do. Yeah, walking dogs, we have all the trouble. The dogs are crapping all over the oval. put the bags and everything down, the suitcase used all the time.
Well, yeah. But what we're getting at here is if we keep them locked, we're inviting people to come down and use this facility that we put money into, and we want them to come into this multi-regional precinct. But there's no toilet here. You need to trot back down to the creek and find it there.
So it's $40,000 a year for one toilet, isn't it? That's about what it costs the council.
I think the costings in here were not...
That's what it costs the council to do every other public toilet. So
yeah, but they're doing it in line with other things that they do in that area.
So in terms of when we start costing, this is what it costs to maintain a public toilet, wages paid, store and creditors. That's on average for another toilet now. What it means, of course, is A, there's two things we can do. One is we just reassign the staff that we've already got to clean this toilet, which means that staff member will then spend less time doing mowing parks or weeding gardens or whatever. Or alternatively, we put on an extra staff member to cover the workload so that we keep up the town amenity as well as clean the toilet. That's for an operational decision that Karina and Rowie get to make. But in terms of actual dollar cost, that's the figure that you've got to work with because I think it's important. I think it's one of the things that this council said is that we come to you with a decision to offer an additional service. We let you know what the cost is.
Absolutely. And I think the standard of brewers, gardens and parks and public spaces is impeccable. I think there might be room to go down and give those toilets a once over, even if it's wet and you can't see what. Dr. Cornwall, okay.
So many times. the first I heard of these toilets was when I went to the Rec Reserve meeting in January, and they told me that they'd seen better toilets in the third world, that they were appalling, which led to them being closed. Because, and in the COVID environment, like, what an unacceptable risk. For council. The toilets not only are used by locals, but people driving to sporties who are tourists. They know where the, you know, here's the toilets, they go and use them. They don't necessarily know where the ones at the botanical gardens are or the ones down near the library. It's in an obvious place if you're a tourist. So
why don't they go to the sporties? If they go to the sporties, they go over the Rec Reserve instead.
Well, they do. They do.
Well, they don't at the moment because they're shut.
Yeah.
They might still be.
But I do think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Deputy CEO, I believe there are plans in the master plan to replace those toilets at some point to something that would be more modern and potentially easier to clean and maintain.
All buildings? Yes. This will be an interim clean. This will just be a...
Would be accessible and having change facilities.
Look, I can see that, you know, there'll be a letter in the mail from Toke Reserve. I think Finley's likely to do the same. Berrigan will be requesting the same, because we have exactly this. We've got a lovely walking track along the back of the sports ground there, and they do a lap round, and you know, the WAF walker wants some toilets there somewhere, just in case. You know, there's a range of potential.
And that's fine. And when they write the letter and we come across, we can argue that then. But right now we're addressing the Baruga one, which I think.
Well, it's the additional cost that we'll have to consider.
An option for council, perhaps, if that is a concern, is that we defer all the requests to the for consideration in next year's budget and address them as a whole.
I think that's a pretty simple request.
No, set up this one.
They've done the work, they've asked, and there's a pretty good argument for it.
That way I can give you a report.
You've probably said you've got 300 toilets in town. How many do you want?
That's the other word I was looking for. I'm just actually wondering whether or not I'm just very conscious, and this is where my social planning hat and community development hat on, is that we actually do have a number of toilets, significant number of toilets in comparison, public toilets in relation to other communities. And one of the things that tends to determine the location of toilets is that the use of that toilet. So therefore, we're talking about data on how frequently toilets are used. Do we have an underutilised public toilet in Baruga so that we could make it a cost-neutral exercise? So therefore, if we're going to open a public toilet in another location, do we then actually consider, given that we're trying to contain costs as well, do we actually consider closing an underutilised one, or is there another way of managing the maintenance of another public toilet? Just thought I would put that.
Could I? Ironically, I do have further commentary around toilets to discuss later in the meeting, but my observation, having been spending considerable time at Baruga Botanical Gardens over the last week, there was a stream of people coming in and out of those gardens using those toilets when the event was not on. And the one in the library, it's right near the kids' playground. You can't even consider taking that away.
And the point with the Rec Reserve one is there's a children's playground there. Mm. So if you're inviting people to come down with the children, and then there's not a toilet, to get to the sporties is quite a battle. if you're needing a toilet at rec reserve to get up to provide your driver's license, then get through into the toilet facilities. It's not a, it doesn't complement the recreation reserve. And if we're being honest, this is probably going to be for 6 to 12 months until the new facility is built. So we're not asking to set a precedent and forever clean these toilets.
No.
Whenever we build the new change rooms.
Well, that won't have public toilets, will it? Or do you intend to put public toilets into that?
Why not? We should.
Well, if that's the case, then potentially. But then again, those public toilets, if they're going to be open 24 hours, need to be cleaned by somebody. Open 7 days a week, they'll need to be cleaned by somebody.
Well, I think the reserve requires a toilet facility. That's not. I don't think that's what we're arguing. I think, can the council please clean these ones that are there now? That's what we're talking about.
For the interim.
For the interim, yeah.
Well, what would you plan after that?
Well, there's going to be a new change room built, so maybe we build something that has all abilities and it's can be accessed 24 hours separate to the change, like the club rooms. There'll be an extension.
Again, for some of us.
Yep.
So
every day.
Every day.
So just want to clarify that what we're talking about then for the new facility is, and we're still basically saying that we are increasing the number and availability of public toilets as opposed to toilets that will be in the new change rooms and then managed by a committee of management. So we're shifting these toilets and the location of these toilets to be public.
Maybe disregard what I said. I got my toilets.
That's not in this year's budget.
Anyway, did anyone want to move a motion that we potentially clean the Baruga Recreation Reserve toilets? Councillor Coleman, okay. I'll second that. My second?
No.
Would anyone like to second that? Councillor McNaught, all in favour? Or, yep. Thank you.
I just like the debate.
Could I move a motion that ones out of the Berry Hall get opened already?
If you write a nice letter and send it in, that's time. 8.12 Murray Street Finlay upgrade cost. Late covering report. Rohit, would you like to open it?
So that's.
I'd like to move a motion that we have a cup of tea.
You don't need to do that, you can just.
Can we please pull up and have a cup of tea?
Great idea.
Just want to say thank you to everyone for moving along. Everyone's doing a really good job. As soon as Councillor McNaught filled up the chook bucket. Here we go. 8.12. We're heading north to Finlay. Murray Street Finlay upgrade costs. This is the late covering report. Do this. I already introduced this.
Coming back onto the late agenda.
We're coming onto the late agenda. So if you could open up your late agenda from.
I know we don't work.
Do you need us to change that 7 days? Is that too
no, long? No, that is good. Don't change it. For it, Joe, because it gives us a. It gives us a deadline we need to work to. Just you need to be aware that if there are things that do require urgency, that we may not be able to always do it. I'm not sure. I probably should have discussed that with the rest of the LT, but I just don't. If we expect councillors to show serious consideration of what they're right, we need the time to do so. That's my view anyway. Sorry,
no,
Madam
absolutely.
CEO.
I agree. And you can't get things.
No, it's called Murray Street.
But the Lewis Street one was about housing.
8.12.
This isn't Lewis Street, this is Murray Street.
I've got that.
Can I just make a preliminary.
Lewis Street's next.
Preliminary.
Yes, Councillor Taylor.
Point about this. I just love this report. I just think it's a great report. Thanks, Rohit.
I'm pretty sure Councillor Taylor would be particularly excited, though.
Well, I think we should postpone this for 12 months because we've got to fund the toilet at Baruga now. We haven't any money. Now, who voted for it?
Okay, Rohit, would you like to talk to this?
This one is, as we presented in October, SPW, presentation attached. Transport New South Wales is planning to renew one section next year of Murray Street Finley, and this is an opportunity when we can do renewal of our parking lanes, footpath, curb and gutter, address the stormwater issue which has been pending for last probably more than 20-30 years, renewal of footpath, and the direction we got from SPW in October that I presented some good to do things and must to do things, and one of the items was should we do footpaths on both sides, and it was yes, we should look at footpaths when we are doing on both sides and curb better too. So we have done the preliminary engineer's estimate, which includes all these costs, including the relocation of utilities, landscaping. Landscaping right now we have put a lump sum cost of say $130,000. What we deliver in $130,000 landscaping is to be explored and discussed with community what they want, and dustbin and benches, which location, what type, what cost. We have included cost of project management too, because we don't have right now resources to deliver the project in-house. We'll be working with a consultant who will be managing this project on our behalf. So roughly the cost is say $1.5 million. And the suggestion or recommendation is that we include this in our draft budget preparation and explore how we are going to fund it.
Yes.
Can I comment on this one,
Councillor?
To Councillor Cornwell McKean. One of the things in our self-assessment was that when we make decisions in relation to expenditure of funds, was that we actually wanted the bucket of money to be already identified. So in this case, I don't think, it's my view that we shouldn't put it in the draft budget at this point, but I think we should explore funding options and come back to us when we have a better idea of how we're going to pay for it.
Can I just, and look, Rahit, you can correct me, Councillor Taylor. My understanding is that there is an opportunity with this to do it in relation to, because there's extensive works being done by RMS or the Roads Authority. So although I understand what Councillor Cornwall McKean's saying, I think and some of these issues have been around actually 30-35 years. The people, members of the community, will argue that their buildings have been adversely affected. We did footpaths at Finley, which were, I think, poorly done. They've deteriorated fairly rapidly. I think that was only done in the last 20 years. You know, you only have to walk down. There's huge cracks along the road. And my understanding is that there is some monies that are available. And I think because it's a road issue, there's road funding